Okay.
I know I said that we're going to be starting Kli Shlishi. We're going to do that next week because there's one very important sugya that's related to Kli Sheni still. And that is a topic known as Kali Habishal. The Gemara identifies certain items as being easy to cook, to the point that they may be, even though we say Kli Sheni Einu Mevashali, a secondary vessel doesn't cook, it may be able to cook certain types of items that are very easily cooked. So that is that. Before I moved on to Kli Shlishi, I thought we had to relate to that. And we'll get into a little bit of discussion on making tea on Shabbos as well. Before I forget, I have a first cousin whose yahrzeit is this week, I think even today. So the shir will be in the Ilur Nishmat, Moshe David ben Rav Yerucham, and the neshama should have an aliyah. So let's begin with source one. The Mishnah in Shabbos says, "Kol Shabbat bechamin me'erev Shabbat, sharin ato bechamin b'Shabbat." If you put anything in hot water before Shabbos, meaning it was boiled, it may be steeped in hot water on Shabbos. Kol shelo ba bechamin me'erev Shabbat. If it was not put in hot water before Shabbos, meaning it was not cooked or boiled, madichin oto bechamin b'Shabbat. You are able to rinse it with hot water on Shabbos. You can't put it into hot water, but you're allowed to pour hot water over it. What? What'd you say?
You said if it's not cooked before Shabbos?
Yeah.
It's referring to?
A food that you didn't cook. Okay. You're allowed to pour hot water over it on Shabbos. Except, it says, chutz min ha-meliach ha-yashan v'kulyas ha-ispanim. These are certain foods known as kippers or Spanish mackerel. Okay, these are certain types of fish or foods that, what does the Gemara tell us? Hadachatan zohi gmar malachatan. Certain foods, you just pour some hot water over them, that's all they need in order to be edible. They're not edible, pour a little bit of hot water over them, they're edible. And therefore, those foods can't have water poured over them on Shabbos because since they're so easily cooked, they're going to cook on Shabbos, and that you're not allowed to do. So Tosso comments, and he points out that there's a machloket as a way to explain what this mission is talking about. Perish shenet basha legamri. We're saying when kol shabbat b'chamim b'fnei Shabbat means if it was cooked completely before Shabbos, then the Gemara says you're allowed to put it in hot water on Shabbos. Since it was already cooked, you're not going to cook it further, it's already cooked. But, he says, what is this talking about? The parish Rashba, the mefarish iroi kekli sheni ati shapir. Remember, I said that there was machloket. When I take a pot of water and I put it on a fire, that is certainly kli rishon. I take it off the fire, it's a kli rishon shelo agabe aish. When I pour it, before it gets into the second vessel, let's say on the way into the second vessel, it hit something. It is being poured. While it's being poured, what is its status? Is its status like a kli rishon or a kli sheni? While it's in the air, while it's being poured, what is its status? So Tosfot here quotes machloket, Rashba and Rabbeinu Tam. Rashba says iroi ki kli sheni. Once it's left the walls of the kli rishon, It has the halachic status of a kli sheni. Now remember, we discussed last week, Tosfot's view about kli rishon and kli sheni was what? When it's within the walls or confines of a kli rishon, the walls help it maintain its heat. When it's in the confines of a kli sheni, since it was never on the fire, its walls don't have that feature. So the minute it's out of the walls of the kli rishon that do that, the Rashba says, iroi ki kli sheni. So this makes sense. Why? Because the halacha here says, "Ein shorunet to b'kli rishon, ava medichin oto b'kli rishon derech iroi." What does that mean? We don't put it in the kli rishon, but we're willing to let you pour from the kli rishon over it. Why are we willing to let you pour from the kli rishon over it? Because when you pour, its status is a kli sheni. Okay. On the other hand, Rabbeinu Tam says, Iroi habik kli rishon. Until it's in the second pot, even while it's being poured, it it's still considered Kli Rishon. It hasn't yet entered second pot. So you filled up the pot and boiled the water, and you took it off, it's Kli Rishon. You pour it out, it's Kli Rishon. In this pot, it's a Kli Sheni. But until it gets there, it still has the status of a Kli Rishon. So, the Mefarish Iroi Havik Kli Rishon, Al Korchach, what is he saying? When the Mishnah here says, Kol Shabbat B'chamim Me'erev Shabbat, Sharin Oto B'chamim Shabbat, and anything that didn't happen to, Medichon Oto B'chamim Shabbat, how does he allow you to pour from a Kli Rishon onto it, if when it pours from a Kli Rishon, it still has the status of a Kli Rishon? So Tosfot says, according to Rabbeinu Tam, that Iroi, pouring, is like Kli Rishon, we must be talking about that you're allowed to pour on it from a Kli Sheni. And that is how Tosfot explains it.
Well, can you explain the pouring thing again? When you pour it, it's like a Kli Rishon.
There was a machloket, Rashba and Rabbeinu Tam, about what is the status of pouring. When you pour water from a Kli Rishon, while it's being poured, before it has reached the second Kli, so if you pour it over some leaves or some fruit or some food on its way into the Kli Sheni, for example, we discussed putting the tea bag into your Kli Sheni. So you're going to pour it, it hits the Kli bag, the tea bag, and then it hits the Kli Sheni. It lands in the cup. But first it hits the tea bag. So the tea bag is getting poured out from a Kli Rishon. What is happening to it? Is the pouring Kli Rishon or Kli Sheni? According to the Rashba, it's Kli Sheni. So therefore he says, you can pour on it. No, I never mentioned Rambam yet. Rabbeinu Tam and Rashba. So according to the Rashba, Iroi is Kli Sheni. So there's no problem to pour over it, because we said, Kli Sheni isn't cooking. But according to Rabbeinu Tam, pouring from a Kli Rishon still has the status of a Kli Rishon. So how does this Mishnah say you can pour on this non-cooked item on Shabbos? So Tosfot says, according to Rabbeinu Tam, we're talking about pouring from a Kli Sheni. Okay, so now you're pouring from Kli Sheni, that's allowed. And even so, the Mishnah says, even that you can't do, Chutz min ha-maliach ha-yashin Kli Yaseh Hispanin. Those two things, the kippers and the mackerel, those foods are so easily cooked, even when you pour on them from a Kli Sheni, they get cooked. Okay? So it's a much greater chiddush to aser according to Rabbeinu Tam. Right? According to Rabbeinu Tam, the Mishnah is saying that you can, in general, pour from a Kli Sheni onto other foods. And even these foods can't be poured on from a Kli Sheni. So we have foods that Tosfot, Rabbeinu Tam, is paskening can't be poured on from a Kli Sheni because they cook even in a Kli Sheni. So we've come across foods that cook even in a Kli Sheni. Okay. What is the issue? One is the possibility the issue is cooking. Okay. Probably not on the Doraita level, likely on a Durabanan level. But we'll get into that maybe. But on the other hand, Tosfot says there's a second issue. Omer Ri, another one of the Bali Tosfot. Dafilu b'kli sheni ein shorin. It's clear that the Mishnah says you're allowed to be shore if it was cooked, and you're allowed to rinse it otherwise. But you're not allowed to be shore even in a kli sheni, according to this explanation of Rabbeinu Tam. Dahoil da mayim chamin. Since, if you were to touch this water, it's still hot. I know, technically, halachically, we told you that it's not halachically considered cooking since it's in a Kli Sheni or coming out of a Kli Sheni. But it's still hot. And if I were to bring an outside person who knew nothing about halacha and he saw me putting a food inside what looks like hot water, what would he tell me I'm doing? Cooking. And therefore, Tosfot says this is a problem known as mechzi kimivasha. Mechzi kimivasha means it looks like cooking. It looks like cooking. And that is gzera derabbanan. You are not allowed to do actions on Shabbos that even look like cooking. And this is going to come up a lot when we discuss how to heat up food on the blech or plata, meaning how to heat up food on Shabbos day, or before Shabbos, but specifically on Shabbos day, very often you want to take out of the fridge, and you want to heat up your kugel, your schnitzel. So we're going to discuss how to do it in a way. Certainly you're not allowed to cook it from scratch. That would be vishal d'oraita. But even without that, one of the issues we're going to have to deal with, and there are a few issues that we'll have to deal with and we're going to discuss, exactly how to heat up food on Shabbos day. But one thing we have to be concerned with is what's known as mechzikim evashel. It looks like cooking. And Tosfot says, this is a problem because it looks like cooking. Now, if you recall, we discussed last week that throwing some spices into your pot is allowed. So Tosfot quickly says, don't worry. I remember that Gemara that says you're allowed to throw spices into the pot. So he says that specifically spices, dafka tavlin, shehein asuyin lamatek et akdera lo mechzik mevasha. A person who sees you pour some pepper on your food isn't going, oh, he's cooking. Person who sees it goes, oh, he has that dish. It doesn't have enough flavor. He's adding a little bit more flavor. That's what Tosfot says. And therefore, specifically for spices, it is not cooking. So one of the things we have to discuss today is what's included in those spices. Are there certain spices? Are all spices included? Are other foods similar to spices included? Does that mean I can throw in, you know, lemon juice? Does it look like, what can I put in that's considered these spices that aren't Mexican mevashel and isn't a problem? Okay. Before we move on. Actually, let's move on. Okay. The source 3. The Gemara Shabbos Daf Mem Bet says, Sav Rav Yosef Lemeimer, Rav Yosef thought, Melach harihu ketavlin. Salt, maybe it's like a tavlin. Okay, one of the things I just said we're going to discuss is, I can pour in a spice and it's not Mexican mevasha. It's just meant to sweeten my food, or to flavor my food. So Rav Yosef said, maybe my throwing in salt, that's just like a spice. The Bekli Rishon B'Shela, I can't do that in a Kli Rishon. But a Kli Sheni Lo B'Shela, no, it's not a problem. Amrlei Abaye, Tani Rav Chiya, no, Rav Yechia taught us, Melach Eina Ketavlin. Melach does not have the din of a spice. Meaning, there's a Kula, a leniency regarding a spice. What's the leniency? I can spice. He says, that's not true about salt. Bekli Sheni Nami B'Shela. Salting is not allowed even in a Kli Sheni. Okay. So herein, we are going to have our discussion about Kali Abishal. Kali Abishal are items... That's not a good marker. Let's try again. Yes?
So, just before you said, you gave the example of someone pouring spice onto their food.
Yes. And your food is allowed.
Regardless.
On your plate, it's allowed.
Okay, fine. But I mean, like, but with the salt, I'm not talking about salt in your food, I'm talking about salt into...
Into the serving dish, into the pot.
Into the pot.
Yeah. Kalei Abishal. Kalei Abishal, again, are foods that are easily cooked. Kal means easy, Bishal means cooking, Kalei Abishal. And we are going to have, start with two, but there's going to be a third option. First option is, we'll start with the most lenient, which is, you Kli Sheni never cooks, you can put what you want in a Kli Sheni. Kli Sheni eino mevasha. The second possibility, Kli Sheni mevasha.
Would you mean eino mevasha and eino mevasha?
Kli Sheni doesn't cook, and therefore if you're allowed to put a food in there, and it's not considered cooking. Okay? There's going to be a second possibility that Kli Sheni does cook. And we're going to come up with a third one that's a sort of middle ground, but we'll get there in a minute. Okay. And we'll see who says what. We'll fit it into the chart. Let's start with the Ram. And I believe the Rambam is on his side as well. The Ram says the following. Even though we said a Kli Rishon cooks, this Gemara just told us that Melach doesn't get cooked according to Rav Yosef. So the melach had cooked in a kli rishon, not in a kli sheni, and Abaye says even in a kli sheni it cooks. So says the Ran, mehashaminan shava pish a kli rishon mevashel. Even though a kli rishon cooks, davka dvarim hakalim lipashel kimayim v'shemen v'tavlin. What gets cooked automatically in a kli rishon? Water and oil. And spice, tavlin. Mayim, shemen, tavlin. Ukayot sebahen. And things that are similar to them, which we'll discuss. Aval dvarim akashim libashel, emit bashelim bavu, but there are foods that don't cook easily. And they don't even get cooked in a kli rishon. Dehaba melech asikna lakula. We don't paskin like that statement of Abaye. We actually paskin like Rav Yosef. Ella, what's the problem? Lefi she'ein anu b'kiyim b'tivei advarim, anu osrim latid kol davar b'shavat b'toch kli rishon bar b'mimai dev shetei b'gemara le'tera. We don't know which items are the ones that cook easily and which ones aren't. And therefore, we never, ever, ever allow you to put anything in a kli rishon unless it's explicitly stated by the Gemara that you can. What does that sound about a kli sheni? This is kli rishon even off the fire. Okay. But what does it tell you about kli sheni? I'll say it. Let me try to rephrase it. Okay? Kli rishon, we know there are items that cook and don't cook even in a kli rishon. But we are not an expert in that. And therefore we don't allow you to put anything in a kli rishon unless we've been explicitly told that this is one of the items that it's okay to put there. What does that tell you about a kli sheni? And therefore, what can you put in it?
Anything.
Your name? Josh? Josh. Okay? Josh told us that the Urayim falls into the category that when we say Klishin and Vivashel, we mean across the board. Okay? The Rambam similarly. V'im tzaka tavshil l'kidera l'kara. Let's say you took your cooked food and took it from the pot and put it in a bowl. Afal pi shehurotech bekara. I would not recommend that a person who took the soup out of a boiling hot pot and put it in a bowl and he goes, kli sheni is not my vashel, I'm going to stick my hand in it. No, that's not wise. You're going to get hurt. You're going to get burnt. It's still boiling. Shehurotech bekara mutar lo liten letoch hakara tavlin. Shekli sheni eino mevashel. You are allowed to put spices into your personal bowl because a kli sheni doesn't cook. So it seems the Rambam is also of this view. When we say kli sheni doesn't cook, we mean kli sheni doesn't cook. There's a famous joke, just to bring this to light. If you all know it, you can stop me. That this man dies in Lev Esrim, and he was from Jew. And he had appropriately a certain number of mitzvot, a certain number of averot, and they measured it, and he had a few more mitzvot than averot, so they gave him a small little peleg in Olam Haba, and they bring him to his room, and it's a simple room, and there's a bed, and a chair, and a table, and he sits there, and one day a malach shows up, and brings in this giant pot of water, and starts to boil it. Doesn't ask too many questions, and the day goes on. And a few hours later, after this pot of water is all boiled, they say, follow us. And they take him to another room. And then there is a chair and a bed and a table. And they say, this is, come in. And then they bring the pot of water. And they bring it to the second room. And they pour it into a second pot. And all of a sudden, they lift up the man. And they put him in the big pot of water. He goes, wait, I was in Tzaddik. I saw there were more mitzvot than averot. And they said, kli sheni doesn't cook. That's the famous joke, okay? Kli sheni is still hot. But halachically, it's considered not cooking. So here we have klishin and mavashal. Yes.
For when you say the lachem was the Gemara says you can't. Then you had a question: what does it say about kli? Can you understand that? Can you just give an answer?
Oh yeah. In other words, the Ran is medayik that there are certain foods that cook in kli rishon, and there's certain foods that don't. We don't know which one is which. Therefore, we don't allow you to put anything in a kli rishon. What does that tell us about a kli shein? His concern is only about a kli rishon. A kli shein, you're allowed to put anything in it. Okay, so we're also going to throw in the Ran here. Okay. Let's see if we can find somebody who says otherwise. Let's look at the array. Eliezer Mimitz, he says, Hilkaf, Yizar Adam.
The first one there, is that the Urayim?
Oh, that is the Urayim, not the Urayim. I should remove the Urayim. Correct, because the Urayim is not going to say that. That was the Rambam and Rambam. I don't know why I wrote Urayim over it. Okay, Rambam and Rambam. Now let's look at the Urayim. Hilkaf, Yizar Adam, Shelo Lachnis B'Shabbat, Shum Dabar B'Kli Sheni, V'Af B'Kli Shlishi, Shehayatzo Ledinbo. Don't put anything in a kli sheni or even shlishi or even revi chamishi if it's still hot. She'en anu mekiyim edvarim rachim ekashim. We don't know what's considered soft and hard and what's easily cooked or not. Mi hu mitbashal b'kli sheni umi she'en al mitbashal kli sheni. So kli sheni is mevashal kishayatzo Ledinbo. And therefore, you can't put anything in it when it's hot. Kishayatz ledepo, and that is the view of the array. Okay? So, what is the status of kli sheni? Is it mutter to put things in it? In the Rambam and Ran, yes. If it's still hot, according to the array, no. How does the Shulchan Aruch Paskin? Says, Kishayat Soledo. Shulchan Aruch says, Yesh Misha Omer. There is somebody who says, and we're going to discuss the Klali Pesach and Shulchan Aruch in a minute. The Shulchan Aruch cites a shita that says something that's been baked or roasted. Davar she'nafel nitzla. In other words, it wasn't cooked. It wasn't boiled. In bishlo achar kach b'mashke yesh mo mishum bishol. There, if you then drop it into boiling water, it does cook further. One of the klalim we're going to discuss in a future shiur, probably in about 5-6 weeks, is there's a concept called ein bishel achar bishel. You can't cook something that's already been cooked. But we might paskin la'alacha, according to some, that there is bishel achar sli or tigun or afia. In other words, if I baked an item, I can still cook it. If I roast an item, I can still cook it. Where does this come up? This comes up all the time. You have croutons or challah. They were baked. They were fried. And now you're going to put them in your soup. Your soup was boiled, cooked. Okay? Are you allowed to do that? Now, if we're going to paskin that a kli, you're certainly not allowed to put it in the kli rishon. But if we're going to paskin that a kli sheni doesn't cook, or a kli shlishi doesn't cook, then it's going to be no problem. If we're going to paskin that it does cook while it's still hot, so then we're going to tell you you're only allowed to add all those items to your soup once it's cooled off below Yatzah Ledinbo, which we discussed in our first year was about 45 degrees Celsius. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes one shita that says it is asr mishum bishul, but asr litein pad afilu bikli sheni sheyatzah ledinbo. And according to this first view, you cannot put any baked or roasted item in a boiling hot soup, even while it's in a kli sheni. V'yesh matirin, and Shulchan Aruch also cites the other view. And we have a series of rules on how to know how the Shulchan Aruch really paskins. And the rule is, when he cites two views like this, he actually paskins like the last one. So the Shulchan Aruch is Meikal. He says, we paskin, kli sheni, einu mevashel, you are allowed to add those items to your soup. Says the Rambam, The Kli Sheni. What is he saying? The Geish Matir is specifically Kli Sheni. Okay, that was clear. I'm not talking about a Kli Rishon. V'yesh mekilin afilu b'Kli Rishon. Some say, when we say Ein Bishalach Har Bishal, it means across the board and you're fine. V'nagu, but our minhag of Ashkenazim. Anyone here a Sephardi? But anyway, I'll tell you it, the Sephardi Pesach in a minute anyway. But v'nagu li'izara l'chachila shelo li'tein pat afilu b'Kli Sheni. We are nohag l'chachila not to put baked bread even into a Kli Sheni when that Kli Sheni calls matcha yatzaletabo as long as it's hot. So the Ramah says, Ashkenazi Pesach,
is that
how
we hold?
As Ashkenazim?
Yeah.
Yes. But we're going to discuss that probably your soup is already Kli Shlishi and then there's room to be mekel. Because either there's a serving dish, so that's a Kli Sheni, and then your bowl is the third one. Or we may rely on the Shita that the ladle is a Kli Sheni. And your soup bowl is the third one. And throw it in, combined with the shita that ain bishalach harafia and all those things. So we're going to be mekel there, okay? So don't pask in that shell until we get to the yesh bishalach har bishal shir. Today we're just discussing kali bishal. Yeah, who was raising their hand? I'm sorry. No? Okay. Fine. The Mishnah Berurah comments. I stuck in two of the Mishnah Berurahs there. First, on the first shita that says you can't put in bread. The first shita that's machmer says there are certain foods that cook even a Kli Sheni. They're soft. They ain't on a bikiyam. We don't know which are which. Okay, no sif. Less early, take pot of afoy, baked bread. The hurachich is soft. I feel a bit Kli Sheni. You can't put it. The huadin, the deyazo, according to that shita, yesh lachmir nami bishar dvarim shalom nami Kli Sheni. According to this, you can't put anything else in a Kli Sheni. Maybe there might be exception. He sends you another thing about halacha that we said these we know are mafurish in the Gemara, that it's not a problem to put them in your Kli Sheni. But on the other hand, the Yesh Matir in the Shulchan Aruch second shita, the one he paskins like, the Ein Kli Sheni Mevashal B'Shum Davar. Svirale, according to the second shita, Kli Sheni does not cook. So this is the view of the Shulchan Aruch. The Aruch HaShulchan discusses a third view. The Aruch HaShulchan says, Aval Kli Sheni Enu Mevasha. Ve'elu she'echmiru gam b'Kli Sheni mishum she'kol davar she'mitbashu b'Kli Sheni also gam b'Kli Sheni. We know Kli Sheni doesn't cook. But why certain items are we machmir not to put in a Kli Sheni and certain people are machmir like that? Because there are certain items that would cook in a Kli Sheni and therefore those items are indeed usher to put Sheni. U'b'Kli Sheni nearly da'afilu ma'osrim li'tein pat b'Kli Sheni. It's because it's soft. I don't know why people are machmir not to put in onions. So we're going to discuss onions in a minute. But some people were machmir because the onions are raw and they would add them to their soup as a kind of spice or kind of flavoring. And some people were machmir not to put them there. But the Aruch HaShulchan is citing a view, and he seems to paskin that way because we're going to see what he says about tea in a minute, that there are foods that do cook in a Kli Sheni and there are other foods that don't. So here we have Kli Sheni doesn't cook. Here we have Kli Sheni does cook. And we have a third shita that Yesh Dvarim Shemit Bashlim the Kli Sheni i.e. Kalei HaBishul Aval harov lo. Okay? There are things that cook in a kli sheni, most not. But there are things that we consider to be kali habishul, easily cooked items, and those items can't be put in a kli sheni. Now let's see what he says about tea. Keva, next source. Keva shenidbar, the kol davar shadachatan zoi gmar melachtan. Remember, our first source on the page said there are certain items, in the Mishnah's example, kippers and Spanish mackerel, they're very easily cooked. All you have to do is pour a little bit of hot water over them, and they cook. They become edible. So, havi bishul, v'chaya b'shabbos. So therefore, if you were to do that on Shabbos, you'd be chaya for bishul. L'fizeh, ha'eser, shekorin teh, the grass, we refer to as tea. Shema'arin aleim chamin, and you pour hot water over them. V'davar yadua shebishu lan kla. Everybody knows tea is easily cooked. V'afilu b'kli sheni midvashlin. Kemo shebe'en sheinenu rov. You can see with your eyes tea being cooked in a kli sheni. Hama'ara aleim chamin b'shabbat. Afilu ha'idei kli sheni chayav chata. You are chayav korban chata for bishul midoraita, for cooking tea, even in a kli sheni, says the Aruch HaShulchan. Because tea is definitely in the category of kali habishul, easily cooked items. V'rabim nechshalim bazen, many people make this mistake. B'tanot shel hevel, and because of space and time, I didn't go through where he rejects all the claims. Oh, the tea is previously cooked and I'm only pouring it over on top through. I'm not really cooking them. I'm just getting... He has all sorts of... He rejects them all. V'aderech ha-yashar hu la'achin ha-essence mi-bo-yom v'chein ha-no-gein to have essence. The Mishnah Berurah is even longer than the Aruch HaShulchan on this. He also clearly says essence is the best way to go. But he does say not to yell at people who do it in a kli shlishi, possibly even those who do it in a kli sheni. Most from Jews, the way they're nohig is that they will cook it in a kli shlishi. What does that mean? You have an urn that's boiled up, hot water, that's the source of fire. The urn is considered a kli rishon. You take a second cup, and you fill it up from the urn. That cup is known as a kli sheni. And you take that second cup and you pour it into a third cup. That's the cup you're going to drink from. That cup is known as a kli shlishi. Can you have the tea bag in that cup already? That's a little bit of a machloket. Most people paskin it's no problem because we're already in a kli shlishi. So even if we're going to have a discussion about whether kli sheni is mevashel, we're certainly going to say kli shlishi is not mevasho, but because we want to be choshesh maybe the Eroi or not, some people are machmer. I think my Rebbe Rav Mordechai Friedman is machmer about that, and he says to first pour in the hot water, then add the tea bag. But I'm told he's going to give you guys a shir just on making tea on Shabbos, something like that at some point this year. You have a chug with him? I'm making it up? Okay, so I'm told I got his syllabus of his topic, so I don't know the content of his shirim. But I saw one of the topics he's going to cover is making tea on Shabbos, so I'm just giving you a Rashi Prakim shorthand version of it. But most people allow it making it in the third one. There are definitely prevalent poskim who allow it even in the second one, again, putting the tea bag in second, though, not pouring the hot water over the tea bag. Making it even in kli sheni, first pouring hot water into the kli sheni, and then putting in the tea bag. One of those poskim is Rosh Hashiva at Yeshiva University named Rav Herschel Schechter Shlita. It's a very well-known posek. He's the posek for the OU. So if you drink Coca-Cola or lots of other lovely products that come from America, you're relying on his psukim a lot of the time. And there's a story going around. I don't know how true it is, but when his daughter was attending seminary, so whatever equivalent to me was giving shir in that seminary, and he learned the sukkah, and he says, okay, we paskin kli shlishi, and he teaches the class that you have to put the hot water into the kli shlishi, then you can put in the tea bag, or you can put the tea bag into the kli shlishi and put on that water, but he said kli shlishi. And this girl, who's Rav Shechter's daughter, raises her hand and says, my father says you can do it in the cliché. And he says, I know your father. Your father's very firm. He would never say that. And she goes, not only does he say that, that's how actually he makes tea. And he goes, no, no, you're mistaken. Your father would never do that. And indeed, her father does that. That's his shita. That's his mistora. Our poskim will say, cliché name of Mavashel. So, Rambam, Ran, Shara, many more. Okay. Shmirat Shabbat Kilchat, yes.
So I just moved on to the Aron Kashulchan. His issue was that when you pour the water in, it's very visible that it's being cooked.
Yes.
Based on the fact that the water is changing color, is this?
So the Rav Moshe Feinstein understood in the Aruch HaShulchan that it's based on the changing color, and therefore he rejects that because he says in cold water, if you put a tea bag in cold water, it changes color. So the changing color isn't the sign. But he says you could tell that the tea leaves are getting cooked even in klisheni. I mean, it's not hard to tell the tea is getting cooked because klisheni can still be very hot. Right? You take boiling hot water and pour it into a second cup, it's very hot still.
I'm just wondering, because it is based on color change. Does that mean that certain spices and things like that might change color?
But just because you put something in doesn't mean it's cooking. Meaning I can put things in that change the color that aren't cooking, getting cooked. They're fully cooked.
These tea
leaves are raw. When you put them in, they're being cooked, and the water changes color is a sign that they're being cooked. Maybe the two of them together. Yes, your question.
So you said Rav Shechter said that you can't do
in a cliché. Therefore, don't yell and beat at any. Don't yell at or beat anyone who makes a cliché. Don't stone them.
Is that after? Wait, is that after you added the water?
After you added the water, definitely. Because we said it's possible Iroy issue.
But he's Ashkenazi, right?
He's Ashkenazi.
But he holds like
them. He holds like them, but there are Ashkenazi who say it.
So it is okay.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Okay. It's okay, kind of. Okay. That's a good way to put it. Shmir Shabbat Kilchata. Bottom source says, "Mikevan sheyeshna machalim hamitbashlim gam beklisheni." There are foods that do cook even in a klisheni. Ve'ein anachnu bekim ledat Elohim, and we are not an expert as to which ones are those foods that cook easily. Yesh lachmir v'lomar shekol davar shein mufashal, anything that hasn't been cooked. Yesh mishum iser bishul gamin utinatol klisheni. You put them into a klisheni, it is usher to cook it. You are over bishul for doing that. Im omanam atavshil shav klisheni ucham b'shir yad salitabo. If it's indeed hot, again, like the array. Lefichach usher litain, and he has a list of a bunch of items. I only listed here the ones relevant to our shir. For example, alei tei, tea leaves, hanatunim basakit, a tea bag, o kapitei, the teaspoon. Kol ela ein latetam bekoshu kli sheni kishehim einam mevushalim, when they are not cooked. Yotzim min akala zeh, what isn't in this category? Heim, mayim, shemen, tavlin, shotam utar litein bekli sheni gam kishenam mevushalim. There are foods that you are allowed to put in the kli sheni even when they are not cooked, because we have statements in the Gemara explicitly stating those items don't cook in the kli sheni. If you remember oil we discussed last week, that was the story about the rabbi in the bath, where the other rabbi wanted to pour in oil for him, and he says, you can do it if you do it in a klisheni. Because it's in a klisheni, that's how we learned klisheni in Mavasho, so that was the source for oil. Tavlin we discussed also last week. Remember we said, notin l'tocha tanpoy or l'kara, and the first sheetah said you can put it in anything, the second one said only in the klisheni. Fine. The Ben Ish Chai is a Sephardi posik, because here it seems like we're lining up Ashkenazim and Sephardim. So I'm going to show you a Sephardi posik who disagrees, and he paskins like the Ashkenazim that it's Asr. Av Abish Amru Razal, Chazal, Ein Bishal Achar Bishal, Mikom Akom Yesh Bishal Achar Afiyo Tzliya, there is cooking after baking or roasting. L'chein Asu Latet Pat L'toch Marak, O Shar Mashke Shulcham Chom Sheyatz Lerabo, Al Afilu Shumunach B'Klishin, you can't put it even in a klish. Sheni, as long as it's Yad's Ledipo. So here we have the Ben Ish Chai.
Where was the previous source that I
found? What?
Previous source. Which
Who's the... I'm sorry.
No.
Oh, where is he?
Yeah.
I think he's here. Possibly there, but I think he's here. It's Mach. Okay. What about onions? We mentioned onions once already. Which source had onions? That was the view of the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan said he saw some or machmer on onions and he didn't understand why. Okay? What would be the reason to be machmer like an onion? It all comes down to whether an onion is like a tavlin, which we know doesn't cook in, even in a klisheni, or whether an onion has its own status. So on the one hand, we have the Taz. The Taz says, V'nogu lizar l'chachila pirish she'ein nonim lechem b'marak shel ha'cholent. Okay, we don't stick bread in your soup or your cholent. V'nerali, da'otam she'cholchim batzalim dak-dak. Some people chop up onions. V'nonim l'toch ha'marak. And they add it to their soup on Shabbos. Lo yasimu rak achar shelot yayatzal ledebo. You can't add the very finely chopped onion into your soup unless it is below yatzal ledebo. That is the view of the Taz. On the other hand, we have the Shita of the Magen Avram, which says, Batzal, Dino Kentavlin, David Ulitaime, why are you adding these onions? You wouldn't eat onions. You add onions to your food. You wouldn't eat plain onions that aren't cooked, raw onions. You add onions to your food to flavor them, much like you would add garlic powder, onion powder, pepper, salt, etc. And therefore, he says, Dino Kentavlin, and you're allowed to do that. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav. Who is the Shulchan Aruch HaRav? It's not the same as the Shulchan Aruch. The first Lubavitcher Rebbe. Excellent. Okay, Rav Shneur Zalman of Liadi. First Lubavitcher Rebbe. So he has a sefer called Shulchan Aruch HaRav. When the Magen Mezrich realized that a lot of Hasidish customs weren't being recognized by Halacha, and he felt that they were halachically appropriate, he turned to the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, and he said to him, please write a sefer Halacha for us that includes our Hasidic customs in it, and he did, writing a sefer known as Shulchan Aruch HaRav. And in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, he says, onions, ein adam le'tavlin, shemotu le'namik li'sheni, k'moshim v'ar yudish ha'tavlin, asu yimatik ha'kadera, v'ein aner k'mvashon, v'chein k'kol davar asu li'tin ham k'kadera, k'gon shum v'atzal, harhim k'tavlin, v'mutner li'klim k'li'sheni. Onions are like a spice, and you can put them in a k'li'sheni. The Mishnah Brura disagrees categorically with this understanding. And it's very interesting because the Mishnah Brura tends to paskin like Magen Avram, and here he paskins like the Taz against the Magen Avram. Just only reading the bold part of the Mishnah Brura here. Kol shekein bebitzalim shetzarek lizayir. Okay, if you have to be careful about bread, and bread, there's a possible kulo. Why? Because bread is cooked somewhat, it's baked. And if you have to be careful about putting bread in your klisheni, kol shekein, onions, you have to be careful. And in the Shaar HaTzion, which is where the Mishnah Brura tells you how he paskened, he says, Taz! V'after Magen Avram, b'siv katan tevah, mashma shesvir li'r b'tzan dino ketavlin. Even though Magen Avram says onions are like a spice, we have many, many sources who say it's no good. And part of the reason why that spices are okay is that we said it's low Mexican mavashal, it doesn't look like cooking. He says that doesn't apply to onions. In addition, he lists a whole bunch of poskim who pass on like the Tazir, the Shulchan Shlomo, and the Chaye Odom, and the Kakalat Shabbat. So we have a little machloket here about batzal. We have kitavlin and eno kitavlin. Eno kitavlin we have in Mishnah Brura. And the Taz, Ketavlin we have, Magen Avram, and the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. Two more things to see. I'm going to read in Igros Moshe, but I'm going to stop in the middle and read the Shmir Shabbos Kilfata before reading the second half of it, because he discusses two different topics. So let's start with the first part of the Igros Moshe. Hayim mutar litein betzalim, only monim b'kli sheni ketavlin. So again, he's asking about onion. At the same time, I'm going to bring up another topic, which is lemon. Now, when I say lemon, I'm saying to put in a slice of lemon. We're not discussing squeezing a lemon. That's a different problem that we'll get to. You're allowed, in general, a regal achas, you're allowed to squeeze a lemon on Shabbos onto food. You are not allowed to squeeze a lemon into a drink on Shabbos. You're not allowed to make a drink by squeezing fruits on Shabbos. But you are allowed to squeeze in your fruits. If you have a piece of salmon and you want some fish on it, you have some fish and you want some lemon juice on it, you can fresh squeeze a lemon directly onto your food. We'll get to the cliching right now. But into your Coca-Cola, you like it with, you know, Diet Coke is very good with lemon. You are not allowed to squeeze.
You put it in, actually.
You can drop a lemon in. Okay, we're not allowed to squeeze it. Yes?
Practical issue that happens to my family and I want to check.
Okay.
We have sometimes my mom can make a salad or something like that.
You can put it on the salad.
Of course. But the question comes that when everyone's done, someone in my family likes to take the juice at the bottom and put it in the glass.
That's fine too.
That's fine?
That's fine too. Because it was done for the food.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine too. For example, when you eat your grapefruit, right? You ever eat a grapefruit out of a grapefruit? So you take slices, you know what I'm talking about? Anybody?
Yeah.
Any lot of blank looks? Anybody ever hear of grapefruit? Okay, so you slice it up, and then you eat out of the grapefruit. At the bottom, there's some juice there. You're allowed to drink that juice. What you're not allowed to do is squeeze the grapefruit to get out more juice. Again, you're not allowed to squeeze it to get juice on Shabbos. But once the juice happens, you're allowed to drink it. So if it was on your solid food, at the end of your dressing, you have a lemon, you're allowed to drink that lemon juice. Okay. We don't have to put you in the witness protection program. You're okay. So listen to this Igros Moshe. Moshe Feinstein was asked, can you put onions or lemons in a klisheni like a spice? Does it have the status of a spice or not? Tshuva. Betzalim mefurash ba'aruch ha-shulchan tu katavlin shemotar b'klisheni. Aruch ha-shulchan says, remember he says, I don't understand why people were machmir about onions. I never understood it. He says, but I think the Aruch HaShulchan was too easily makel. Achulai in betzalim mechlal tavlin. Why? The hachayavim b'masrot. You can go to your rosemary tree. You could go to your certain spices that grow like that. Okay, possibly, I don't know, parsley or whatever, mint. Okay, you can just basil. You can cut some off, bring it in your house, and you don't have truma or maser problems, not problems, mitzvos. You don't get to do the mitzvah, trumas and mitzvos on those spices. Okay? That's a halacha. Onion, that is not the case. You cut off an onion from your bushel, or your however onions grow, and you want to bring it into your house, you now have the mitzvah of trumas and mitzvos. So he says, to equate onions to a spice, we know an area of halacha already where that's not true regarding trumas and masros, so therefore that's not necessarily true regarding fishel and Shabbos as well. Nobody would eat any spice plain. Nobody. I never saw a guy do a paprika shot without losing a bet. Okay, but nobody would eat that plain. People do eat onions just as a food. And therefore, the Igros Moshe paskins that it is not like a tavlin; it is therefore a problem to put in your kishen. Before I get to the second half of the Igros Moshe, where he discusses something about coffee, let's look at the last source. The last source, Shmir Shabbos Kilchata. There's a footnote on the one I just read above. I put in footnote Kufnan Bet, where it discusses spices. He says, you can't put food in a klisheni mamashal, except for the ones that we know mafurish in the Gemara, don't cook it even in a klisheni. Mayim shemen tavlin. Tavlin, says Rishon Zalman Orbach, he quotes him in this footnote, u'mehem advar menikran tavlin, shamati mehem rashaz Orbach shlita. Not our spices. Our spices are so finely ground as to be powder-like. Tiny little granules, if even that, if not just pure dust, air. And therefore, they cook so easily, even in a klisheni. So Rishon Zalman Orbach told him, you can't put spices even in a klisheni. That is certainly not muskam across the board. I saw in the name of Rav Yashuv, there's a sefer known as Shvut Yitzchak that says, Shemati me'agon of Yosef Shalom el Yosef Shlita, the bedavar shu kashami tivo gam kishin nitchan v'naset dak, even though it's thin, Yesh lomar de eno kalit bashok yemesh lomaseh rach. Being thin doesn't make it necessarily soft. And kali abishul, he says, are related to how soft an item is, not necessarily to how thin an item is. So he didn't grant the premise of Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Now let's go back to the second half of the Igros Moshe, and with that we'll end. He says, in Limimonim, Yesh lesor beklisheni, umutu beklisheni, and also lemons, you can put into a klisheni, but you can put into your klishishi. Val kafe, coffee. Coffee. En muvushal, it is not cooked. V'chein kakao, shein achalin, urak letavlin, lechora him vada bechal stam tavlin. V'en keid mefurshma, nidim shim klisheni, and mevashlin, it's mefurash, they are not considered being cooked in a klisheni, umutu lechach, they're just for not for taste but for look. You're allowed to do all them in klishishi. So he seems to imply, and this is how many understand him, that coffee specifically is allowed even in the klisheni. In other words, even though I told you for tea, the standard practice is that we have to put it in a kli shlishi in order to make tea on Shabbos, though the best of all worlds I told you was tea essence, possibly tea essence that's still hot, even higher madriga. But even without that, even those of us who are knowing to make it in the kli shlishi, coffee specifically can be made in a kli sheni. That's it. Any questions? Shakach, thank you for your time. Have a nice day. Oh, yeah, you have a question? No? Okay. That's lachah.